Well, good evening, Shepherd, and happy first Sunday in February. Man, the year is flying by, and I'm so thankful to get a chance to be here to finish up this opening series of our year of I Love LA with the epicenter. That's not a word you say in LA lightly, right? The epicenter of the Bible. So whether you're here at Porter Ranch or maybe you're watching at Westside or West Valley there in those campuses, or you're watching online or in Agua Dulce, we are glad that you've taken time to swim to church this evening or this weekend rather, and to share with us. The Bible says God puts the rain on the just and the unjust, and He has given us a blessing of some rain, and we pray for those who are working through places where there may be mudslides and challenges. Whenever you get a blessing, there's always the challenge that follows it. Can I get a oh yeah? You win the lottery, and then you got to pay the taxes. So we are we're grateful for the rain, but want to be thankful for those who are taking care of power lines and problems that may exist. So Paul takes us to this epicenter of the Jesus earthquake. When Jesus came, He so shook the world with His very presence. And Paul places his finger in this love letter to the church at Corinth on one word, a word that over the last several weeks, Dudley and Kyle have walked you through over and over again. And for some, if you said wrap up Christianity into one word, some might have grown up thinking, I know what the word is, it is obey. Or I know what the words are, it is be good. But that's not what Paul says God has at the heart of following Jesus. It's a little four-letter word, starts with L, ends with of. Anybody want to take a guess? Yeah, Paul says it's all about what? Love. It's all about love. Because in this amazing world that we live in, the one thing we will never have enough of is love for one another. It is love that stands between races. It is love that stands in the midst of the mess that is politics. It is love that rips families apart, and it's love, or the lack thereof, that opens the space that other things can pour into, whether it is greed or deceit or addiction. Love is the answer. The question is, who's going to bring it? Jesus started it and began that epicenter of love, and it's supposed to be echoing out through all of us who claim Jesus as our Lord. Have we got any Christians here this weekend? Just out of curiosity. Okay, if you won't own up in here, you're toast out there. You know that. So this is the place where you can say yes. And Paul says, then let's talk about love. I love LA. I really do. And this year, Pastor Dudley has challenged all of us to really love our city. Right now, it's kind of easy to love LA. I don't know if you know, there's a game tomorrow. And now this weekend, rather, and LA is in it. And it's just, is it me? It's just a little chilly in here. I brought something I can slip on if it gets a little chilly here. Oh yeah, that feels much warmer. Now I had to bring this out because it's something that a buddy of mine sent me who is a big, but what's that? I forget who the other team LA's playing. Somebody back on the other coast. But he's a big Pats fan. And so he sent me this little meme. Take a look at this. Never gonna happen. Not only did I think, yeah, well, we'll see, but it reminded me of some instructions my mom gave me about the English language. She said, honey, never say never and always avoid always, right? And I thought, man, Mom, that's brilliant. Because you know, you say, oh, you never do that. Like, you know, oh, they could never win. Well, don't say that. Or the Pats always pull it out. Well, actually, they don't. But it wasn't from my mom's brain that popped out. It actually came from a guy named William Hazlitt. William Hazlitt somewhere around 1826, coined that phrase, wrote it. Hazlitt is not very well known, but he was actually a fella who was a critic and a coach and a bit of a mentor in some ways to people like Samuel Johnson and to Keats and to Wordsworth, some of the greatest poets and writers of all time. He is, in one article, said to be the most respected voice on literature in all of English language history. I'd never heard of his name. But I heard of that wise phrase, never say never, always avoid the word always. And then I got assigned this text. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and where Paul finishes up his lists of qualities of love, and clearly Paul never heard the phrase, never say never, and always say always. Paul ignores my mother's classic advice, and he says, the only way that I can tell you what love is really like is to use always over and over and over again. Literally, it's the Greek word pantas is the word that he uses. And it's the word for all the time. It's the word for all things or in all things. He starts out by telling us two things that love is, right? Love is patient, love is kind. And then he tells us seven things that love doesn't do. You know, love doesn't envy and love doesn't boast and love doesn't dishonor others and love doesn't keep any record of wrongdoing, right? Love doesn't rejoice in evil but rejoices in what's good. But he finishes up with four quick punches of the word always. Everybody say always. Always. Paul says that there are things that love does always and everywhere. Mark this down in your notes, if you will, continuing. Christ-like love has attributes that simply don't change because of timing or of location. So the love we're going to talk about tonight is not a love that is sometimes and somewhere. Now, there are words for sometimes, somewhere love. You know that, right? There are four Greek words, actually, that are typically used for love. One of them is the word you'd use sometimes and somewhere. It's the word storge. It's the word for family love. If I'm with my family sometimes, somewhere, and I say, oh, I love you, I would use that word. But that's not this word. There's another word for friends. So if you're in a circle of friends, maybe at the Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl party, you're there, and you're among friends. Oh, man, I just love you guys. Okay, that's a word, phileo, that is just used for friendship love. Now, there's another word that I would use if I was just with my wife. And I look at her when she says, yes, we can go get Chinese food. And I say, oh, baby, I love you. That's that eros word from which we get erotic love. It's not just sexual. It is that passionate, loving, committed, caring kind of love that we seek in those special relationships of marriage. But none of those words are always and everywhere. Because if I say I love you to somebody who's not my family and not a good friend and not my spouse, see, those are all sometimes somewhere. But Paul says this kind of love, can everybody say agape? The difference in agape love and the others is agape is, everybody say always. Everybody say everywhere. Agape love is a love that you choose. I want to say this really slowly. Is a love that you choose to give. You don't choose your family members, right? You're stuck with them. Everybody say amen, right? You don't choose your family. Now, you get to kind of choose your friends, but again, it's those who happen to be around you, and you certainly, when you and your spouse commit to one another, well, that's it. You know, that's you and them. But what about when I meet a stranger? What about when I bump up against somebody who disagrees? What about when I deal with an enemy? Paul says, yeah, this is when agape love is the sign of the believer, because everybody say always, everybody say everywhere. Okay, tonight, every time, this weekend, every time I do this, you say always. Let's try it. Always. And you see, by the time we finish, we're going to be saying, okay, I get it, Pastor, because this kind of love is always. And what does it do? What does it look like? Here's the four punches. Let's read it together. He says of love, it always and it always perseveres because love never what? Fails. Now, I read that over and over when Pastor Dudley said, Jeff, this is the passage I want you to wrestle with. And I thought, okay, what is it about that list that is hitting me? I think that these final four always attributes can lead us to love never fails. In fact, I'm going to suggest that as we race through these four tonight, I'm going to stack them up like Legos, and you see, if you don't see a pattern, if you don't see a path that says, how do I get to a love that never fails? You know, John writes in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, he says, dear friends, let us love one another, because love does what? Comes from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And whoever doesn't love doesn't know God. And then he hits us with these words, because God is love. Man, it's one of the few places where it's not God has this attribute, but God is love. But with that background and heavy duty reverence, we say, all right, I want to be more like you, God. We sometimes even say, oh, he's such a godly person. What does it mean to be godly? Paul says there's one word for it. You want to be more godly? Oh, I'll read my Bible more. Would that be a good thing to do? I'll pray more. That's a great thing to do. I'll give more to the church. That's a very, very, very good thing to do. I'll go to small group. Oh, man, small group. That's a fantastic thing, to go to a life group. And by the way, we have a new series starting just next week, and I hope you'll consider being part of a life group if you're not already one, because it'll bless your life. Can I get an oh, yeah? But Paul says, if you want to be godly, if you want to be more like him, John says, God is love. Paul says, here, love. You ready? Because we start out with a tough one. Number one, love always protects. Write down under love always protects this phrase. Love can't stand back and watch. Just mark that down on the back of your outline there. Love can't stand back and just watch. It always steps in. Okay, a couple of interesting things about this word. This word is stego. And this word stego, the Greek, Kyle often does great research for me, and I'm so appreciative for what he does. But this word stego is the same word from which we get that word stegosaurus. We got any dinosaur fans in the house? I'm not joking. Stego has to do with protection or protective covering. And if you look up a stegosaurus, it's got all those plates all over it, right? So you say, what is this stegosaurus love? It's a love that wherever it is, it kind of extends its wings of protection automatically. It doesn't simply say, oh, can I protect? Can I step in? Everybody know what an automatic response is? I used to live in Charlotte, North Carolina. When I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, I found a new kind of donut called, anybody know, Krispy Kreme. And when I learned that whenever this light was on, the donuts were still literally hot. Oh, now don't confess now. Some of you out there, it's me. We're going to have Krispy Kreme Anonymous here. We'll just get together and say yes. I used to see that sign, and my wife would say the wheel would just turn automatically. I didn't say, do you want some? I saw it and immediately reacted. There was an automatic response. Paul says, Jeff, how about this one? If you want to be like Jesus, you automatically seek to protect whoever's hurting or needy, whoever's exposed, whoever's being bullied, whoever needs protection, you automatically protect them without saying, oh, wait a minute, should I protect him or her? Now, there's some moments when that automatic protection just stuns us. Kendrick Taylor, great big guy, looks like he must play some football. Kendrick and his wife were on their first anniversary trip. They took a cruise down to San Juan, in Puerto Rico. And on the last day of their trip, they're walking through a little shopping area and turned down an alley when a 17-year-old in a little moped pulled up and pulled an Uzi out of his jacket and asked them for all their money. he tried to, we have any money. All we got is credit cards. I know you have money. I know you don't have credit cards. And then he simply pointed the Uzi at Kendrick's wife and fired. But Kendrick, at the last second, jumped in front of the gun. The bullet went through Kendrick's chest, pierced his spine, and here he is laying in the hospital, fighting for his life. He fought bravely for 3 days. And then he came to out of the coma. And they found out that it had severed a part of his spinal cord, and he is paralyzed from the neck down. Sometime later in an interview, he was asked, "What do you think? Do you regret it?" And Kendrick immediately said, "I'd do it again in a heartbeat." That's what God had me there to do, was to protect my wife. Now, I want you to let that sink in. Because it's one thing to look at that and say, "Wow, yeah." It's another thing to say, "How about you at your house?" I'm not talking about when the bullets fly. I'm talking about when the words fly. You see, love, according to Paul, will not simply stand back and watch somebody get lambasted. Love will not stand back and just laugh while they fall down. Love will not stand back and say, "I ain't going to say nothing, because if I say numbs, it's going to be a problem." Love doesn't count the cost. It simply leaps in, because what love does is love protects. Come on. And Jesus even says, "I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's your enemy." Take a look at Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and do what?" You mean love will take a bullet for an enemy? According to God's word, yes. You mean love will step in and say, "Here, take me"? Love is, I got a new phone the other day. You know, you wander into the wrong store and they say, "Hey, hey, take a look at this. And we got a special and 2 for 1. And before you know it, I'm walking out with a new phone and I'm an indentured servant for 10 years. But the first thing my wife said when they handed us the new phone, she said, "We're buying screen protectors." Because she knows that, I'll drop my phone. And so, sure enough, we bought this. And I got to thinking about this lesson and this screen protector that's on my phone, because my screen protector has already been cracked. It's already had a scrape on it. My wife panicked. I said, no, it's okay. It's just the screen protector. Look, the phone is absolutely great, because the screen protector says, if you want to crack something, crack me. Don't crack the phone, crack me. That's my job. If you're a Christian in your neighborhood, that's your job. It's to step out and say, "You don't make fun of somebody, make fun of me. But we're not going to make fun of them. You want to laugh and joke about somebody? If you want to laugh and joke about me, that's all right. But we're not going to laugh and joke about them." Yeah, but don't you know they're so? Are you willing to be a love protector who says, "No, not here"? One pastor had a sign up in his house that so touched someone, they wrote an article about it. The sign simply said, "The absent are safe here." Now, you got to read that twice and go, "What do you mean the absent are safe here?" Here's what the pastor was trying to say. Don't come into this house and gossip about somebody who's not here, because the absent are safe here. Don't come into this house and start railing and saying negative things against fill in the blank, right? Do you find yourself falling prey to some of the animosity that's on the airwaves almost everywhere? And because that person isn't sitting here in our room, we've, "She is so dumb, he is so stupid, they are so..." Wait, whoa. Love protects. And says, "Well, we're not in their shoes. You know, that's really not fair for us to say." Instead of laughing and saying, "Yeah, isn't that so?" I'd like to think that if somebody came and pointed a gun at one of my family, and some of them are here with me tonight, that I'd like to think I'd make that Kendrick move and jump in front of a bullet. But the truth is, The real question is, will I day to day, when we get into times when we disagree, give way to Satan who says, just tell them how dumb they are. Wait, whoa, whoa. Love protects and let's move on to the second one. You say, how do you do that? Paul, how do you have that automatic response? How do you take that risk? And here's why, because love always trusts. You see, the only reason that love can say, all right, I'll jump out and take the bullet, is because love says, I also trust. I trust that this is worth it. Or in the phrase I put on the outline, mark this down, love always believes the best first. You say, what do you mean? Okay, hate assumes the negative. That's what hate is. Hate comes out with statements like, all men are pigs. All women are so vain. All teens are punks. All white people are. All black people are. All Latinos are. Can you feel that kind of pumping up inside of you when hate just wants to say, oh, those Democrats, oh, those Republicans, oh, those atheists, oh, I tell you, the LGBT. Stop right there. Because love is saying, we're going to believe the best, even when we get shown the worst. When that waitress, when that person who's trying to find what you're looking for at the, you know, the fancy Target stop, you know, shop, when you go over there, when that individual is surly or rude, or when somebody cuts in line in front of you, here's what love does. Love said, well, you know, I'm sure they've just had a bad day. No, actually, they probably had a great day, but I need to give them a bad day because they need to be taught a lesson right here, love says. Time out. Do you trust? Well, yeah, but their actions. Do you trust that God is involved in this moment? Do you trust, man, this is hard for me to preach because this is tough for me to do, I'll just be honest. Do you trust that it's worth it to jump out and be the screen protector, to jump out and say, hey, let's not pile on? When Paul writes to this letter, you know, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, used all these weddings and such. Do you realize that Corinth is one of the most messed up churches you find in the New Testament? Corinth was not a church you and I would want to be part of. I'm just telling you the truth. Corinth was a church in which when they took the Lord's Supper, they'd get drunk. That's a messed up church. Can I get a oh yeah from you on that? Have me one more of those. I mean, it's just you can't even imagine, right? It's a church in which promiscuity was such a problem that there was a guy who was going to marry his father's wife. I mean, it's a mess. People were suing one another. They're walking in the lobby. How you doing? Hey, are you Bob Jones? Here's your papers. I mean, that's what was happening. And Paul says, as he lists all of these things that they were doing, Paul starts the letter with these words, love always trusts. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you've been enriched in every way with all kind of speech and all knowledge in God, thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. You know how messed up they are. Why would you say something like that? Because love trusts God. Now, can I just say, this doesn't sound very intelligent, and I'll tell you, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to love always and everywhere. It's like those signs at some of the theme parks, you know, you may get wet. Sometimes the sign should say, you will get soaked, right? Well, let me tell you, if you love this way, you will get soaked. You will get let down. You'll get cheated on. You'll have somebody take advantage of you. You'll be disappointed and heartbroken at times. My advice to somebody who says, I never want to be hurt. Okay, I'll tell you the secret to it. Never love anyone. Seriously. You get married? Oh, dude, you're going to get hurt. Let me tell you. Your feelings are going to be hurt. She's going to say, honey, you really want to preach in that sweater? And don't have kids. Oh, good night. Don't have kids. They'll break. Dad, just drop me off here. Well, buddy, I want to pull up in the parking lot. No, it's okay, Dad. It's okay. You haven't washed the car and I don't know when. Just drop me off here. And don't have any good close friends because they're gonna let you down. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Love is not safe, but it's the only way to live. Amen. So here is Paul reaching out and saying, if you really want to be like God, then you have to decide. It's not safe, but I'm going to love, I'm going to protect, I'm going to trust. And somebody says, oh man, how do you find the reason to trust when you've seen them let you down so many times? Which brings me to number three, love always hopes. Love always hopes. Mark this down. Love always sees hope because love sees God. I like to think that love sees kind of a God space. Love looks at it like, okay, imagine the big game is going on and we get down to only 2 minutes left in the game and our team is 17 points behind. You look up in the stands and they begin to empty of the fans who are saying it's done. But the true fans start doing what's called the calculus of hope. You know what it goes like, right? Okay, there's 2 minutes left. Okay, if we intercept the ball and then run it back for a touchdown, and then we do an onside kick and we run that back for a touchdown, and then we catch, and then they throw another interception, and we get down and we kick, you're saying, is there a chance? There's a chance. Can I get a, oh yeah, there's a chance. All right, how about this? I look at a person and I say, look at how messed up they are. And God says, really, is there any chance? Well, there's no way they, stop, Jeff. Stop saying they. How about say me? I'm not saying God will, but I am saying God can. Some of us need a big can of God can right now in our lives. Amen? Not God will. I can't promise God will. That'd be foolish of me to say, but let me tell you, God can. God can work in a situation you don't think has any hope. God can. When Abraham was so old that his body, the Bible says, was as good as dead, it says in hope in Romans chapter 4, in hope against all hope, Abraham believed because God was involved in it. Oh, preacher, this is so hard. You don't know the mess that my job, my marriage, my business is in. I know a young man who'd been raised by godly parents in the same town I grew up in. But in his 20s, he wandered away. Marriage, business difficulties. But guess who didn't quit hoping? His mama didn't. His mama kept praying for him and praying for him. I knew the story. And that mama kept praying and praying and praying and praying and praying into her late 80s when her son, then more than 70 years old, said, you know what? I need to get God back in my life. He not only turned around, but became very involved with the church and is serving there to this day. The reason I know that story so well is his name is Tom and he's my older brother. Now, give thanks to God on that one. I need you to know that my mother just kept hoping when I said, Mom, don't. Why are you inviting him? I always invite him. Easter Sunday is coming. They're having a special Sunday. Praise God for parents who won't give up hope. And praise God for a Heavenly Father who hasn't given up hope on you either. All right. We got to wrap it up. We've got love protects, love trusts, love hopes. By the way, how often? And where? That's why love perseveres. Love doesn't quit. Because when I'm invested in protecting and trusting and hoping of others, why should I give up? Love protects, trusts, and hopes, and it always hangs tough. That's why the prodigal son's dad, it is said in Scripture that when the prodigal son was coming home, how long was he gone? I don't know, a long time. But when that prodigal son was coming home, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that he got up and went to his father, and while he was still, did you ever notice this? A long way off, his father saw him. Pause. Why did his dad see him
when he was a long way off? I think because his dad never gave up and was looking down the road every day, looking and saying, come on, God, today. Come on, God, today. Come on, God, today. Because love doesn't quit. It sits by the bedside when the patient's in the coma and keeps praying and sharing. It keeps coming back after the fourth relapse in the addiction process and says, Lord, please, I will not give up. It says, I don't care how many years she's been in prison or how long he's been away from the Lord or what choices they've made, my God doesn't quit on me and I won't quit loving them. Oh, folks, these words are so easy to have them roll off of my tongue, but I want to tell you, when we do this, then that kind of love never fails. And that's what the scripture teaches. So here's the challenge. Come on now. Can you get a face in your head? Don't point, ma'am. Don't point. Just she's you right there. I want you to get that face in your head that you think, all right, this is that person. I am committing to protecting and trusting and hoping and absolutely persevering.
Always.
And
everywhere.
Bow your head. Father, we asked that you hear us because we want to have that kind of love. We want to have a love that doesn't let go and walk away. We want to have a love that hangs tough. And God, we know that while our love may falter and fail, it's not our love that's going to get us through. It's your love. And that we're secure in that love that never fails. God, will you give us that love today, I pray. And in Christ Jesus' name, we all say, amen.